today on It's Time.
You see, you're the Noah in your group. You're the Noah at your company. You're the Noah in your family.
Welcome to It's Time, the daily Bible teaching program of Mike Kessler, pastor of the River Christian Fellowship in Twin Falls, Idaho. Today, we're going through the book of Genesis. So, turn there in your Bible and follow along with Pastor Mike.
It's time for these wounds to heal.
It wasn't just the rain, as we talked about before last week, but it was, the Bible says, the wells of the deep broke open. We talked about this new water that's on the earth every year. Every year, there's one more cubic mile of water that's on earth than there was the year before. It just seeps out of the ground. But the wells of the deep, God, when he created the earth, no doubt created it with that capability of doing those things. And so when the rains came and the wells broke open, the water flooded the earth and went up above 22 and a half feet above the highest mountain. This is why we can reject the idea of it being a local flood. Well, it was just in the Mesopotamian area. Well, water seeking its own level, and as we'll read on here, this flood lasted for 5 months. It rained and the wells broke open for 40 days and 40 nights, but that was enough water to fill the earth. And it took, in fact, they were 5 months floating and 7 months on top of the mountain, waiting for it to subside where they could get out. So it says, the waters prevailed, and it says, and all flesh died that moved on the earth, birds, cattle, beasts, every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, every man. And all those who in nostrils had the breath of the spirit of life, all that was in the dry land died. So he destroyed all living things which were on the face of the ground, both man and cattle, creeping things, birds of the air, and they were destroyed from the earth. Only Noah and those who were with him in the ark remained alive. Now again, this is a spiritual blueprint, the way it works with God. Only those with God remain alive. Always remember, if you want to know where to go, always go to God. He's got the answers for what you need. That's one of the important things to always remember, is that you know where to go when you're in trouble. You know, a lot of people that don't know God, they go all kinds of places for help. I shared this before. They run to their friends. They run to their bottle. They run to their bong. They run to all kinds of things, looking for somewhere to find some kind of reconciliation, some kind of peace where that'll help them cope with the stress and the pressure at hand. But the Bible tells us, Peter says, casting all your cares on him, he cares for you. How important that is. And so it tells us here, and the waters prevailed on the earth 150 days. So the earth was covered with water for a long time. But this was because God had become angry with the way man had become. Then God remembered Noah, verse 1 of chapter 8, and every living thing, all the animals that were with him on the ark, and God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters subsided. And the fountains of the deep were in the windows of heaven were stopped, and the rain from heaven restrained. And the waters receded continually from the earth, and at the end of the 150 days, the waters were decreased. And the ark rested in the seventh month, in the 17th day of the month, on the mountain of Ararat. And the waters decreased continually until the 10th month, the 10th month, on the first day of the month, the tops of the mountains were seen. So this is about 2.5 months after they rested on the mountain. All of a sudden, the water started going down and you started seeing islands, but they were really the tops of mountains. And it came to pass that at the end of 40 days, Noah opened the windows of the ark, which he had made. And he sent out a raven, which kept going to and fro until the waters had dried up from the earth. So he'd send out this bird to do reconnaissance. It was his reconnaissance plane, if you will. And he would send the bird out. And it says, he sent out for himself a dove to see if the waters have abated from the face of the ground. This was 4 months into after they came to rest on top of the mountain. But the dove found no resting place for the sole of her foot, and she returned to the ark for him, and the waters were on the face of the whole earth. So he put out his hand, took her, and drew her into the ark to himself. And he waited another 7 days, and again sent the dove out from the ark. And the dove came to him in the evening, and behold, a freshly plucked olive leaf was in her mouth, and Noah knew that the waters had abated from the earth. So as this was going down, things started growing again, and he saw this branch in her mouth, and so he realized that it was getting time to get ready to disembark. And it came to pass, so he waited yet another 7 days and sent out the dove, which he did not return again to him anymore. So the dove just said, hey, I'm out of here. This is habitable. And it came to pass on the 600th and first year, first month, first day of the month, that the waters were dried up from the earth. And Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and indeed the surface of the ground was dry. So again, we find this now 1 year after it came to rest. The second month, the 27th day of the month, the earth was dried. And then God spoke to Noah, saying, go out of the ark, you and your wife, your sons and your sons' wives with you, and bring out every living thing, all the flesh that is with you, the birds, the cattle, the creeping things, the things that creep on the earth, so they may abound on the earth and be fruitful and multiply on the earth. So Noah went out, and his sons and his wife, and his sons' wives with him. Every beast, every creeping thing, every bird, whatever creeps on the earth, according to the families, went out of the ark. Now this is a completely different world than when he went in. The Bible says before the flood, the earth was watered by a vapor, like a heavy mist. It never rained before. And the canopy around the earth was ruptured. Now, some people believe there's different books that have been written on this, where perhaps a meteorite or something caused smacked the earth and caused the earth to crack and caused the water to come out. And because of that, ruptured the vapor canopy. We were like in a greenhouse before. Now it's a different environment. And by the way, we remember that after the flood, man's life was cut back. We used to live to be almost 1,000 years old, but after the flood, man's life was continually cut back until the time of King David is about 70 years. And yeah, I know some people go longer than that, but the Bible set the limit of humans at 120 years, and I don't know anybody that's gone longer than 120 years. So it's interesting that man's lifespan was shortened because of it. It seemed like the longer man lived on the earth, the more ways he could invent evil. So God just said, well, 120 years, that's it. And so it says that they went out of the ark, and Noah built an altar to the Lord and took of every clean animal, every clean bird, and offered burnt offerings to the altar. And the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. Then the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake. Although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, nor will I destroy every living thing if I have done. While the earth yet remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, day and night, shall not cease. It's interesting that we find really the first mention of defined seasons here. Again, perhaps that vapor canopy kept that away from it. Now, some people wonder what changed when that vapor canopy went away, when the X-rays and the gamma rays came in and we start getting sunburn and now we need, you know, sunblock 37 and all these different things. Well, they believe that before this flood, you didn't need any of that stuff. And as a matter of fact, there's organs on your body that aren't used. We don't really know what they were for. Your tonsils, they really don't know all the stuff about them. Your appendix, your gallbladder, of late, maybe the brain, I don't know, but you know, some of these organs that aren't used anymore, okay, we've set that on the shelf. And no, but they attribute a lot of those organs to maybe longevity. And it may very well be if they weren't damaged by the ultraviolets and a different environment, we might still live to be 100 or 1,000 years old. Really, theoretically, science tells us there's no reason why you shouldn't live to be 1,000 years old. But the problem is the body that you're in right now, you won't be in 7 years. All your body will have reproduced all the cells and you'll be in a different body in 7 years than you are right now. If you live that long, you don't live another 7 years, okay? But the problem is your cells do not reproduce fast enough to prevent the aging process. If they could just go a little faster, then you wouldn't age. Well, that's what we find in this shortened lifespan that man has. Now notice here in chapter 9, so God blessed Noah, his sons, and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. And the fear of you shall be the dread of you on every beast of the earth and on every bird of the air and on all that move on the earth and on the fish in the sea, and they are given into your hand. Now, it's interesting here that God put the fear of animals into humans at this point. Evidently, before then, animals weren't scared of humans. But now that has changed. By the way, every time we move farther away from God, we lose more freedom. Isn't that weird? In Christ Jesus, there's freedom. You'll find this in governments. The more godly a government is, the more freedom you have. You see, because you don't need laws to govern somebody that's self-governed. Our forefathers said, our government is really for the self-governed. It is completely inadequate for those who are not self-governed. In other words, whatever I think I can get away with is what I'm going to do. Our government really can't take care of those kind of people. But if you're self-governed, if you have that consciousness of God where I'm going to do unto others as I would have them do unto me, and I respect one another, you see, that is the society in where we have a lot of freedom. But the more wicked a society becomes, the more laws have to be instilled on people to prevent them from acting irrationally. And this is what we find. The farther any country goes away from God, the more laws have to be initiated to keep man living the way, civilly you might say, they're supposed to live. We can see that in our own land. Again, why do you have to have all these building codes? You know, I was really surprised. I was reading this earlier this morning, just going over it again, and I was thinking, Noah couldn't build his boat today. Do you know why? He'd have to get a building permit, supply blueprints, and all that kind of stuff. He couldn't build his boat. They say, well, you know, now is this going to be powered, or how are you going to electrify this? He would have all kinds of things that he'd have to jump through. Again, the farther we go away from God, the more laws we have to have. This morning, just to ask you a question. If you're in Christ Jesus today, the Bible says you live in his freedom. You live in his abundance. When you're free, the Bible says you're free indeed. But if you're not a Christian here this morning, you're in bondage. You're in bondage to your desires. You're in bondage to your thoughts. You're in bondage to your friends. You're in bondage to the things of this world. Jesus came that we might have life and that more abundantly. I pray this morning that you have had a relationship with God and that you have a relationship with God, that you would be a Noah in your generation to your circle of friends, that you would be one that would influence them, and that God would work through you. And just as we read, thus Noah did according to all God had commanded him. I pray that that would be what God would say about you, because the thing is, I know God's going to use you in a great and mighty way in a world, in a society that doesn't know him. This morning, the Bible tells us that today is the appointed day of salvation. You know, I know a lot of us can always try to put something off another day, because that's the nature of man. What's the old saying? Never do today what you can do tomorrow. The problem is, today is the appointed day of salvation. You see, we don't know we're going to be alive tomorrow. And do you realize that when you become a child of God, God has his things that he wants you to do that you're going to have an eternal reward for? You see, when you become a child of God, God begins to speak to you again, and you begin to hear God's voice. And God uses you to reach out to a lost world. And you don't know how long this lost world is going to be around. As long as we're here, and as long as you're here, there is an opportunity for you to share your faith. You see, you're the Noah in your group. You're the Noah at your company. You're the Noah in your family. And to let your light shine and be about your Father's business. Because tomorrow's not promised to anyone. You see, that's why, again, as we come together and we read God's word, and we understand that God just doesn't have one Noah in the world. He's got a lot of Noahs, all of us. Now, God hasn't told me to build a boat. I'm sure God's not told you to build a boat either. But God has told us to let our light shine. Now, you might be here today, or you might be listening, and you might say, I have never turned my life over to God. I'm still living it my way. Let me ask you one simple question. Are you happy? Do you really say, boy, my life is satisfied? You can't do it, because there's nothing in the world that will satisfy the ache in your heart for what God designed you for when he put you on this earth. If God's designed you to do a certain thing, it's like trying to use a light bulb for a hammer. You're not designed for these things that the world says is what you need to do to find happiness. It's not till you're plugged into God that you're going to shine. You're going to do what God wants you to do this morning. If you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, if you never realize that, hey, God, I am 1,000 miles from what you want me to do, then today's your day to come home to God. It's your day to say, okay, Lord, from this day forward, whatever time I have left, I'm going to give to you to be about your business. And God will use you in ways you never dreamed possible. You see, Noah saw the hand of God in his life. I believe, as you study the scripture, anybody that turned their life over to God always saw the hand of God in their life. I've had people come up to me and say, well, why was God such a God of miracles in the Bible, and today we don't see a lot of miracles? I believe because most people don't live close enough to the edge as Christians to need a miracle. What do you need God to do? Well, you know, I've got an unsaved mom or dad or children or whatever it might be. God, I need a miracle from you. That's where God wants you. See, that's where you know that God did it rather than something else. We always like to attribute great things to all kinds of other things. Well, boy, you know, that was pure luck. No, if you're a Christian, you don't have luck. If you're a Christian, you are under divine direction from the King of Kings. And because of that, God wants you to be about his business so he can demonstrate through you his power. Yes, God is still in the miracle working business. And God wants to work a miracle through you today, this week, and the rest of your life. You say, but Mike, I want to live my life my way. I want to do what I want to do. Well, the problem is then you cut yourself off from the supernatural. What you do is you cut yourself off and you say, well, I'm going to do what I want to do, but I don't know what God wants me to do, because after all, it's all about me. You see, Noah recognized that it wasn't about him, it was about God. And as he served God, did what God wanted him to do, other people lived. Isn't that going to be great in heaven someday when God looks at you and says, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord? Rather than Yeah, you lived your life selfishly. What reward will you have? So I believe, friends, that again, as we look at this and what the Bible tells us, you're a Noah, I'm a Noah. We're all Noahs divinely appointed for his purpose to do what God wants us to do. This morning, if you're not a Christian, though, you're living your life for yourself. And we're going to pray right now, and you can ask Christ to come into your life. You can say, Lord, I'm tired of living for myself. Only thing that really mattered is what I want, and I'm not happy, and I want you to do something new in my life. And the Bible says that if you will, he will reach out to you, meet you where you're at, restore you, heal you, and bless you. And you say, but if I accept Christ, I might mess up. Yeah, that's going to happen, as a matter of fact. And in fact, 1 John says, if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, which is Christ Jesus. In other words, you have a continual, when you accept Christ as your Savior, you retain him as your lawyer. That's a good thing. And he doesn't work for like $9,000 an hour. He's there for you right now where you can say, Lord, I messed up. Please heal me. And God, in his wonderful way of doing things, not only forgives you, but even the bad things we've done, he works for God's glory. I don't know how he does that. No other religion of the world even offers anything like that. They'll, as I've shared this many times, they'll say, well, to get right with God, go burn so many incense sticks. Go do so many charitable deeds. Join this particular group of people or recite this mantra, or sell some flowers in airports. That might get you right with God. Well, Jesus made us right with God. But not only are we right with God, God says, now I'm going to restore you and I'm going to bless you and I'm going to heal you. No religion does that. All religion, that the very best they can do is tell you maybe how to get right with God, which is not really true, but nothing about restoration. Friends, I need to be fixed. I need to be restored. You see it in your car. Haven't you ever noticed cars need a lot of fixing? The tires wear out, you hit chuck holes, you're driving down, everything's good, and you hit this big old giant chuck hole that there's a Volkswagen bug in the bottom of, and you hit that, and it knocks the whole front end of, and now your steering wheel's like this. And you're going, oh, that's not good. Well, a lot of times in our Christian experience, we hit a lot of chuck holes, but you know, God is the master front end aligner. And he'll fix that. If you don't have Jesus as your Lord today, I'm telling you, there is no one fixing you. And you keep getting worse and worse and worse until you think your steering wheel like this instead of like this. This is normal. No, it's not normal. Well, I've just learned to live with it. That's what people do in the world. They live with their sin, and you don't have to anymore. We're going to pray. If you want to ask Christ into your life, you can pray right now. Say, okay, Lord, I want to be a Noah to my circle of people. And God will bless you and provide for you. Let's pray. Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. And I recognize I'm a sinner. And I'm sorry for the way I've lived my life. So from this day forward, I commit my life into your hands. I believe Jesus died on the cross for me, and his blood covered my sins. And so now, for the rest of my life, I want to serve you. Open up the doors, empower me by your Holy Spirit, and thank you for eternal life, that I pass from death unto life. I can live with you forever. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for joining us on It's Time, as Pastor Mike teaches verse by verse through the Bible. If you've missed a program or would like to catch up, you can do so by getting it from the It's Time podcast in the iTunes store or by downloading it from the It's Time website at theriverchristianfellowship.com. On behalf of Pastor Mike and the rest of us here at the River Christian Fellowship, thanks for listening and tune in next time for It's Time.